We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in Upstate. It is a Thursday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. Diesel and I in the studio, and Diesel totally outsmoking me when it comes to the attire today. So I'm already starting off in the hole. And then number two, Diesel, do you notice for the first time in about 3 weeks what's not on here in the studio? The fan. I actually got a quarter zip on right now. So you should be good. You should be in good shape today. So thanks to Priority Heating and Air, Caroline. Just for getting all that taken care of. But listen, we're going to have some fun today. It's basically our Friday because it looks like weather and everything else will hold up in Oxford, Mississippi. And at 4 p.m. tomorrow, it will be Clemson versus Illinois, game number one of the Oxford, Mississippi Regional, of course, hosted by Ole Miss. And that's a 4 p.m. first pitch, so we will join the Clemson Sports Network and Don Munson and Bob Mahoney at 3:30, and we'll have the afternoon off. And, you know, not a bad way to book in the week, Diesel. Monday off, Friday off. But you know what? I'm telling you, we heard it from Brett Freelander yesterday. You know, a couple of the number three seeds to pay attention to in regionals are Clemson and NC State. Of course, you would expect that coming from the ACC insider. I just, you know, if there's any way that Clemson gets to a super regional, fantastic. I think this is the best setup for them. And the fact that, you know, Ole Miss had some success getting to the finals of the SEC tournament before Vanderbilt. I think they were up like 7-0 before Vanderbilt came back and won. Yeah, they come in, arms are a little bit tired. Clemson's rested. And you know what? Illinois's got a deep pitching staff, but I don't seem to be that afraid of Big Ten baseball. You know what I mean? So, you know, Clemson could advance, but I got the feeling if they could just get, you know, maybe into the last game of this regional, that's as far as they were supposed to go. However, if they do win it, we may be affected by a super regional next weekend or Friday, but I'm going to be off. Are you ready? Jeff Pantridge, Pants, Diesel. Let's go ahead and tell people he's going to be coming in.
Pants is coming back?
Pants is coming back. He will start next Friday, work the entire next week. He is earning two paychecks while he's here in Greenville. Number one, hosting for me.
And number two is a gigolo.
Oh, that's three paychecks because he's also house-sitting for us and staying at the house. So
does it count as a paycheck if it's under $10?
Above $6, technically. Have you ever gotten that random check for something for 89 cents and you go, should I frame it or should I throw it away?
Because I think one year I got a federal tax return that was a dollar.
My point being, you're going to spend more than 89 cents getting to the bank to go deposit the 89 cents. So frame it. But Pants will be hosting the show for me next Friday and the following week while I go. Listen, I mean, what's going to be reality? Probably our last family trip. You know, age is involved when it comes to my parents. So we are all gathering for a week-long vacation to go honor them and everything else. So you're going to have the opportunity, number one, to hang out with Pants for 6 days on the air. Jeff Pantridge, by the way. Number two, Diesel, if you have that moment that we were talking about needing to get out and about, that'd be the perfect partner in crime to go do it with. You know what I mean? So really excited that he's coming in and hosting the show. And, of course, he's already done it for a week. Back when the doctor threw me a curveball, what was that, end of January, beginning of February, and said, nope, one more week off. And I couldn't argue him because, you know, at that point when you're under the Disability Act, your doctor controls when you can enter the building. I wasn't even allowed in this building while I was out for the last surgery till my doctor signed me back in. So, again, just giving you an update on that. But it is now official, Diesel, and I talked to him last night. And Mike Buddy was announced the new athletic director at West Point. And, of course, he had been at Furman 4 years. I mean, really, really changed that culture on campus. And he told me last night it would take a very unique city. I mean, he had already told me in previous conversations, you know, his job now, he made it to the major leagues, you know, as a pitcher out of Wake Forest playing for the Yankees and actually winning a World Series championship. So one day a few years ago, we had lunch and we were talking and he goes, I'll share this. I don't think there's any secret to it now. I was like, you know, what's your ultimate, this is your first job as an athletic director. What's your ultimate dream in this business? And he said, you know, I went to Wake Forest, but I'm from Ohio. He goes, being the athletic director at a place like Ohio State, Florida, you know, that competes in everything, you know what I mean? At the highest levels with the biggest budgets. But he now makes the jump. He said, he told me, he goes, Sturge, this is such a unique opportunity at a service academy. And he's already dealing with some of those parameters that he will have to deal with, you know, because you can't go recruit a football team or, you know, because of the commitment and everything else. So he kind of takes some of the issues that he dealt with a smaller school, big, you know, a big it costs a bunch to go to Furman and Wofford. Let's be honest about it. So he takes some of those things into West Point. He also gets to be part of one of the coolest rivalries in all of sports, Army-Navy. And then thirdly, Boo Corrigan that just left Army went to NC State as an athletic director. So if you can be successful at Furman, at the Naval, at West Point, I got to get Naval Academy out of my mind because of Price. Now I'm gonna pick a fight between Mike Buddy and Price right before the Army Navy game next year. But it's just a very unique opportunity. He had turned down a couple of other schools, but West Point, I think, had a lot to do with it. And congratulations to Army. Listen, I know Steven that listens to the show and calls in. Dude, you got a great guy as an athletic director. And we're going to miss our buddy, Mike Buddy. But congratulations. You always keep moving forward. And I'm sure Furman will find themselves in good hands. Now, Diesel, the other thing from last night, you know, we're all this overreactive situation, the day after something happens in sports, which is a little bit tragic. And listen, any child being hit by a foul ball, that's a tragic situation. But I don't know what you do. Right now, they are calling for, like Chris Benson of the Cubs, go ahead and net everything in the first level down. I guess you're eventually maybe going to have to do that, but isn't it your choice how much you want to risk? Don't you know what the risks are, Diesel, when you attend a baseball game? And then you go buy your seats accordingly. If you've got a small child, chances are you don't want to sit them behind the first base or third base dugout. But if you're 60 or 58 or 50 and it's guys night out and you're willing to be a little bit closer in toward the action, that ought to be your right. But the sadness, the absolute sadness of what took place in Houston last night when Cubs outfielder Albert Almora realized he had hit a four-year-old young girl. I mean, it's not only bad for the girl that got hit. Trust me, you should have seen his reaction. He was in tears.
So you didn't explain. Did the girl survive?
Yeah, she survived.
Okay, so you made it sound like she died. You gotta give us this little nugget of detail. That's an important detail.
The girl is expected to be okay. That's what the last write-up. So it's not good. It's not life or death threatening. They're risking going out here and walking across the street and getting some wings. You know what I mean? You could be hit by the car. What do we do? Do you now go say, hey, just for – because the only place they do the netting in an NHL game is from, you know
– Major League Baseball, you mean?
No. Oh, hockey NHL. Game. Yeah, hockey game is down in that bottom third on both ends. You know what I mean?
Right, where people are taking shots constantly.
Right. So is this an overreaction, or should it absolutely be you know what you risk? I mean, they have added netting on down. I just don't see the need to go netting all the way from the box level to the full and covered up. They are risking everything.
That's a tough one, man, because if you're a hardcore fan of the game, one of the things that makes baseball spectacular is you can be right there close to the action. It doesn't feel like there's a barrier between you and the game, and that's what a net is. A net is a barrier between you and the game. Now, if we had issues of people chucking things onto the field all the time, then sure, put up the nets. It's hard, man. People want to be able to get close to the game, but you're right. There are inherent risks when you're close to the game, and I don't think a lot of people consider that.
Right.
When they get those seats, they say, oh, my God, look at these great seats that I got. I can finally get a chance to take my 5-year-old son to a Yankee game or an Astros game or whatever, and I can get to put him right here. But at the same time, he's 5. He doesn't have the wherewithal to defend himself from fly balls.
And he may be on his phone, playing on the tablet, or they don't
have
it.
It's just about having the heads-up attention, and 5-year-olds don't have that.
Plus, you add the reflex into it. You know what I mean? Think about a pitcher. Did you see that catch that went right under the chin of the pitcher 2 nights ago, and he literally kind of caught it parallel to the ground as he was ducking? Now, this is what...
That's one of the reasons why I was never a pitcher in baseball. Yeah. That's a scary place to be.
No. Scariest place to be is a slow pitch softball pitcher with your fraternity B team back in college playing a group of Bama football players?
No, I'd say being a Major League Baseball pitcher with balls hit right at you at 100 miles an hour is a little scary.
That's the equivalent of what was going on. I learned the technique there that day, Diesel, to pitch the ball and fall on the ground at the same time because there were multiple that came right back up the middle. All right, but this is what Almora had to say after the game. Obviously, I want to put a net around the whole stadium. Talking about, what will happen there? You're going to lose attendance. Because at that point, I can stay home and watch this on my 70-inch TV, or I can view it through – it's an obstructed view.
Baseball's already got enough attendance issues.
That's my point, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this works out, because the reality is this happens every few years, and it's a sad situation, and then maybe they extend it 10 feet further out. I just honestly – I don't know. I want everybody to be safe. I mean, maybe you bubble wrap them, the children, as they come in. I don't know. I really don't know. But the point being, they are risk at everything you do. Think about the other day. We were talking about the lady's first pitch. That cameraman never saw that thing going right into the lens of the camera because it was such a bad first pitch. Hey, before we get out to break, let's get JD. JD, what should they do about the baseball netting situation? Because, I want everybody to be safe, but you have your right to risk some things as well.
Yeah, thanks, Church. Hey, first of all, I'm a Cub fan, and what happened last night was just heart-wrenching. No blame on the dad, no blame on the child, no blame on whoever was there. But I will say this, going to baseball games as a little boy with my dad, whether it was in Wrigley Field or it was down when we went to the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, we always bought tickets right behind the third base or the first base dugouts, and that's because my dad wanted to be as close to the action as we could. But this came with this caveat that when we sat there, he was constantly reminding us, look at the field. And he would actually physically, if we were not looking at the field, he would actually take his hand, put it on top of our head, and turn our head. And eventually, as it does with most children, it gets through. But I always remember that, and I remember why. He said, you don't want to get hit. You don't want to get hit. And as soon as that happened last night, I was listening to it. It reminded me of that. And, if you are going to sit up front with children as a parent, do what my dad did, and I'm appreciative of it now. I've taken my children to baseball games, and we've sat close, and I've done the same thing. And you just got to be aware.
That's it, man. And listen, always listen to your dad as well. Even if you disagree, sometimes down the line you find out they're usually right. So, Diesel, when we come back, you've had a topic that you and I have been working on for a couple of days. So why don't you set us up, and then we'll open up the phone lines, because this one's kind of interesting. It can take us in a multitude of directions.
Well, yeah, since I had my triumphant comeback to ESPN Upstate on Tuesday, being out for a week going down to Key West and then being out on Monday for Memorial Day. It'd been a long time, so I had to come back into the studio, and I wanted to start thinking about biggest comebacks in sports. And that can mean a lot of different things. So this is very much wide open. But we're talking about comebacks being a game where a team fell far behind and they came back to win. We can also talk about comebacks for athletes to their given sport, or, you know, just sort of reestablishing their good name, because players fall from grace all the time and then they bring it back. So if you have one of those, call us in here at the station, 844-GSP-ESPN, best comebacks in sports.
And we'll get to that when we come back. Don't forget, the free StatsCast contest is going on. You want to earn a little green? Then you can text the word green, G-R-E-E-N, to 72881. Two local winners just 2 days ago right here. Trust me, $1,000 free and clear on Intercom Greenville, and ESPN Upstate. You can't win it if you're not in it in the free cash dash contest. Your best comeback when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, Serge, one of my favorite lines from the movie Gladiator is when Commodus makes his first entrance into Rome. And the people are cheering for him. Ah, it's so great. And the two senators are over there scheming. And he says, he enters Rome like a conquering hero. But what has he conquered? That was Commodus's comeback.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a comeback. It was really his introduction. But the people don't know that he was trying to come back from having just murdered his father.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Pretty big.
And sports offers a lot of opportunities for comebacks. And that's what we're talking about here today. Greatest comebacks in sports. And this is a wide open topic, okay? We're not just talking about the Patriots coming back to beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl. We're talking about a little bit of everything. We're talking about athletes who have fallen off the wagon in whatever way and have come back. We're talking about programs that have fallen off the wagon and come back for whatever reason. We're talking about athletes who left the sport for a little while, then came back. We're painting with a wide brush here.
So you brought this to me on Tuesday.
Yeah, because Tuesday was my comeback to ESPN Upstate after having been gone for, what felt like a month.
Yeah.
Time sort of stands still when you're on vacation for that long.
Yep, and you look like you enjoyed it. But the thing is I hadn't – this was something that I had to go look at, because it can come down to generations. You know what
sure.
I mean? So I knew you really pay attention to what you know that happens in your lifetime. You know what I mean? So that's what recent events maybe means to certain people. So I wanted a little time to go do some homework.
Yeah.
And my greatest comeback in sports, and when it comes to a personal story, if you will, or when it comes to an athlete and not necessarily a team. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've gone through a wide variety, and I've got multiple listed here. But number one on my list, when all was said and done, you may know the name of the surgery, but you won't remember the pitcher. But in 1974, at 13-3 overall, starting Los Angeles Dodgers left-handed pitcher Tommy John. Do you recognize that name, Tommy John? He was 13-3. And, you know, had kind of stabilized what was a bad L.A. franchise back in the early 70s. And then, if you will, Tommy John becomes unhinged, literally. Not because he went out there. He had a problem with his left shoulder. It was so bad. It was an ulnar collateral ligament, UCL. It had torn away from his bone around his elbow. Chances of hit at the time in 1974 of him recovering and coming back and pitching again 1 in 100. The doctor went ahead and invented a procedure to try to get Tommy John said, I don't want to give up. 13-3 when this happens. He has the surgery. Since it's the first time it was done, what do they call that surgery now?
It's a Tommy John surgery.
Yep. He had to go through over a year of recovery, learning to pitch in a new way, and then went on to win 164 more games in Major League Baseball. So, 1 in 100 chance of recovering. It was so bad they named the surgery after you, and then you come back and win 164 games as a pitcher. Is there any bigger comeback in that in sports? And
that's why, pretty huge. He had a procedure named after him that now you hear pundits talking about it and saying that all pitchers should go get Tommy John surgery because most of them come back stronger after the surgery than they were before it.
So, that's why I know a lot of people go Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? Or something like that. But, dude, when 1 in 100 chance of a comeback, and it was so bad they actually named the surgery after you, and then you went on just to come back and pitch one game would have been amazing. But to win 164, I'm not sure there's only one that I think is as big as Tommy John. So how's that for a little homework?
That's a good start. You're the history buff, so I'm gonna put these out there and see how much you know about them. Here's my biggest comeback.
All right.
The University of Marshall football program.
Yep. I mean,
lost the entire team on a plane crash outside of, what, three players and an assistant coach?
Well, the freshmen couldn't play then.
Right.
So there were some freshmen that were there, and then there was like three or four players.
Sure.
One, if the story is true based on the movie, he overslept and missed the flight. That could have happened in the 70s. It would not happen now. What are they doing? They're all together. And so there was, what, three or four plus the freshman class from what? But, again. The point being, you're 100%.
Marshall to come back. And that was a long road to come back. I mean, that is an incredibly difficult circumstance to come back from. And it took them a heck of a long time, but to come back and start winning FCS titles again, to move up to the FBS level and to have the success that they've had, I don't know how you don't call that one of the best comebacks in
Absolutely.
Sports.
Absolutely. That's the thing. I didn't think about it. I thought about it from the individual level and then one game. So, that never caught that. And they go on to make a movie about it.
Sure.
That it's one of those movies, quite frankly, that you find yourself when you're flipping channels.
Yeah.
You watch. Like last night.
Red Book. That stuff really works.
Yep.
I quote that all the time.
Yep. He's talking about you so-and-so. You're the...
Nate the Great.
Yep.
Great Escape. Nate Ruffin.
All right.
What about that trick in Red Book?
That I didn't even think about that. All right. again, want your opinions. We'll put it up on social media as well. All right. How about one more before we go to break? I know I'm a lot older. You don't remember the successful run the Pittsburgh Steelers went on back in the 70s with Terry Bradshaw? Were you even like 7 or 8 or 9 at that time?
What year?
Oh, it was, 74 through about 78?
I was still a decade away from being born.
Okay, so obviously. All right, during that run, the Pittsburgh Steelers had Terry Bradshaw, who I know you know, is quarterback. Len Swan, who was a much better wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers than he is as an athletic director at Southern Cal right now. John Stallworth was a wide receiver. Benny Cunningham from Seneca High School that played tight end at Clemson University was part of that. But the most captivating story from that team was their fullback named Rocky Blyer. Does that name even ring a bell? Rocky Blyer was captain of the Notre Dame football team. He was drafted into service in our country not once but twice. First, the mighty Pittsburgh Steelers, then the U.S. Army. He went from captain on the field to a private in the jungle. On August 29, 1969, Rocky Blyer's platoon went to the aid of another platoon under ambush. Blyer took a bullet through his leg. Minutes later, a grenade exploded next to him, riddling his foot with sulfur-laced shrapnel. Bleeding heavily, he crawled through rice paddies and eventually, with some help, made it to a chopper and was flown to a medical camp. Later, Rocky Blair was transported to Japan to undergo an operation. Doctors removed more than 100 pieces of shrapnel from his foot. The medical staff told him if he persevered, he might walk normally again someday. Playing football at that point was out of the question. Not too many years later, Rocky Blair has 4 Super Bowl rings along as well to go along with his Purple Heart. I mean, dude, you know, serving your country, you take that. They tell you you'll never play football again, but with a lot of work, guess what? You can hopefully walk normally again. He said, nope. I ain't going to sat. That does not satisfy me. And you know what? I guarantee you all those guys that I previously mentioned get all the credit or most of the credit for the success of Pittsburgh. But if you look Rocky Blair in the eyes, how do you not go on the practice field and the game field itself and not give 110% effort? All right. So when we come back, some more as well, including my best team sports comeback. Now, it's a little bit different than Marshall rebuilding their football program. But when you blow this kind of lead, guess what? You get called out for it. 844-GSP, ESPN. What are your favorite comebacks in sports history?
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So, the greatest comebacks in sports. What have been some of the best comebacks on social media as you put this question up?
Looking at Greg Aument, who texted or tweeted in and said Frank Reich versus Miami and versus the Oilers. I'm sure you know probably what he's talking about. The 1969 Mets coming from behind to beat the Cubs in the NLCS. The 04 Red Sox being down 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
He also mentions Tommy John. He mentions Johnny Ventner as being able to come back. David Dravecki. He says he loves comeback stories.
I do too, and that's why we're getting into it, and we're not going to mention that first one till the next segment. But, Diesel, I have come off the cuff with Tommy John. Why? 1 in 100 chance of recovery successfully. He not only recovers, he gets the surgery named after him, goes on and pitches and wins 164 more games. So that's pretty big time when you are your legacy will be that surgery, not how many games you won.
You said Tommy John. I said Marshall. Coming back from that plane crash, and it took him a little while to get there, which it would take any program a while to get there. But shout out to Marshall for being able to do it. That was, you know, it was before transfers. If that happened today, you'd see mass transfers in, and they would probably be okay.
Yeah, they did it, let them. That they were the first team
to
ever
play
freshmen.
Right. But so, I'm just saying, if that happened today, the transfer portal, they would not be a good team because they would all just sort of be coming in from all over the place. But you could have some major talent playing for a team that had that happen.
I had Rocky Blair, the former Pittsburgh Steelers fullback that had his foot really damaged in the Vietnam War, came back and won 4 Super Bowls. But I think one of the biggest stories, and Will Smith did a really good job in the movie. What about Muhammad Ali? You know, everything when it comes to him, because he took 3.5 years off. That's how long that he was suspended from boxing at the height of his professional career. And it was for being a conscientious objector of that same war that Rocky Blair fought in. But he managed to clear his name in court, was reinstated by the Boxing Association, and we know the rest. I mean, Cassius Clay changes his name to Muhammad Ali in this fight. And, of course, you know, he made another comeback. Ali lost the fight of the century against Joe Frazier in 1970, but turned around and later beat him to get the title back. So 3.5 years out of your game because boxing has suspended you. and you go on to be a heavyweight champion, guess what? That's a pretty good comeback.
Yep, and shout out to Ted Hyman of one of our followers. He works for 24/7 Sports. This one I'm not entirely familiar with. You might know something about it, but Niki Lauda's comeback from his crash during the 76 German Grand Prix to placing fourth in the Italian Grand Prix after only missing two races.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, I know somewhat of the story when it comes to Niki Lauda, but listen, you can almost say anybody out there in racing, because at some point they crashed into a wall, so good call there. Anything else on yours? Because I got how about the female portion of our topic here?
Well, shout out to Nancy Kerrigan after getting clubbed in the knee and then coming back to win a silver medal in 1994. That's impressive.
Just shout out to Nancy Kerrigan, period. Yeah. You know what I mean? But
so true.
I mean, think about it. Getting clubbed in the leg by what Jeff Galluli and whoever else it was with Tanya Harding, who goes on to be more famous for her amateur porn video, I guess.
And boxing.
Yeah, well, of course. And World's Dumbest Thieves and stuff like that that she's managed to keep her name in. But yeah, not only did she come back and win the silver medal, she beat the girl that was responsible, and you can't tell me that Tanya Harding was completely oblivious of what was going on.
Did you ever see the Tanya Harding movie?
The kind of the B movie, weeknight movie, something like that. I think I did. But
I'm looking it up. I forget the name of it.
All right, one more. How about this from the female perspective?
It was called I, Tanya.
Okay. Nope, can't say that
I starred Margot Robbie as Tanya Harding, who is about a million times hotter than Tanya Harding.
Yeah, it might be worth checking out now. All right, one more female. How about Monica Seles? People forget her. In the early 1990s, she was the number one ranked female tennis player in the world. Now, Diesel, you were about 7, 8 years old. Monica Seles was the first women's tennis player known for what?
Serving over 100?
She grunted on the court. I mean, it sounded like she and her husband were on their honeymoon at times. You know what I mean? And that's when everybody got upset. Wow. Number two, she was, I think, left-handed, so that's a little bit different as well. So between being a southpaw and grunting all the time, a lot of people didn't like Monica Seles. But in 1991, she was number one in the world rankings. At that time, it was the youngest woman to ever be ranked number one in tennis. And she only got better over the next couple of years. And then in 1993, when many felt that she was actually at the peak of her game, this dude reached over a courtside railing and plunged a knife into her back. You talking about the ultimate knife in the back? Monica Seles did. She ended up disappearing to recover, not as much as physically as mentally, Diesel, 2 years off. Once she did come back, she won a Canadian Open in 1995 and the Australian Open in 1996 before she, I think, said, that's enough of all this. But being stabbed in the middle of the game while you're switching sides of the court by some lunatic, that's a lot to come back from, not just physically, but mentally as well. And I think she has to be on it. So when we come back, Diesel, I've got one sports, game story of a comeback. You know what I mean? And no, it's not the LA Clippers coming back from 31 down or whatever it was earlier this year. Or maybe it is somebody coming back from 31 down. We'll find out. 844-GSP. You can text us at 72881 at ESPN Upstate, at Sturgis Sports, at Diesel on Radio. All right, welcome back in. Diesel, we've been discussing great comebacks, and, all mine have been individual. Your choice of Marshall football, for whatever reason, didn't even come up, but that's a great team moment. It's a tragic team moment, but the Phoenix rising from the ashes, so to speak. But how about this? My biggest comeback when it comes to a game was the University of Maryland. We just heard this mentioned a little bit ago from Greg Ogman. The University of Maryland football team overcame a 31-0 halftime deficit against number 6 Miami in the old Orange Bowl. Now, chances are you've probably seen this game on ESPN Classic, but at the time, the win for Miami, 42-40, again, trailing 31-0 against those powerful Miami Hurricanes back in their heyday, all right? They're up, is Miami, 31-0. They lose the game 42-40. At the time, it was the largest comeback in college football history. That has now been eclipsed by Northwestern leading Michigan State by 35 points, but Michigan State comes back for a 41-38 win. That was in 2006. But that's also against Northwestern. This is the Maryland Terrapins with head coach Bobby Ross. I think Boomer Esiason, Frank Wright, who, by the way, the other reference Greg Augment had was he led the Bills comeback in that AFC championship game when the Oilers were up 31 points. So listen to this. You want to know, first of all, November 10th in Miami is a steamy hot day, Diesel. Maryland had a linebacker by the name of Chuck Fawcett. He was a mean bad boy, too, I remember. You know what happened with a minute or so left after Maryland pulled the comeback with 42 points in the second half? He fainted on the sideline. I mean, boom, passed out cold. That's how hard this Maryland team had played to get back in the game. Now, you know you're a major, major football school, Diesel, when you're ranked number 6 in the country. Everybody loves you or hates you. There was no middle ground, but you drew a whopping 31,000 and change to the Orange Bowl that afternoon. So even when Miami was good, they wouldn't show up, the fans, but for a big game. This is what Bobby Ross had to say. I don't know if there's ever been a greater comeback in football, college, or anything else. It's just, well, amazing. 31 points down. The U is up on Maryland. Maryland comes back. They end up going on to be invited to spend the Christmas holidays in Hawaii when the Aloha Bowl actually meant something, Diesel, because there was only like 15 or 16 games at that point. So that's my greatest sports comeback. I mean, you know, in a different realm, you could almost throw Virginia in there for being ridiculed for an entire year for being the first number one seed to lose to a 16 seed, but that might be the best answer in history.
I'm going to throw one out there that I know a lot of people are not going to like, and maybe you would consider this a comeback, maybe you wouldn't. I'm looking at the personal struggles that he had and then the career that he had after he came back from that. How about Michael Vick? Michael Vick was supposed to be one of the greatest, and he was an electrifying player to watch. Well, of course, Michael Vick didn't have his head screwed on straight, and he got in trouble for dogfighting, and then he had his bankruptcy. But for him to come back and then take the Eagles to the playoffs in both 2009 and 2010, how do you not consider that a great comeback? And it was hard. I guarantee you it was hard, and the Eagles took a lot of heat for giving Michael Vick a chance. But he came back and played pretty well for him.
Yep, TJ gets in with me on Twitter. He also says that 93 Bills Oilers playoff game. So
844-GSP-ESPN. If you've got one of your – what do you think is a great all-time sports comeback, whether it be in a particular game, whether it be an athlete, a program, anything like that, that's what we're looking for.
All right, how about personal? Were you ever down 19-2 on the ping pong table in college and you came back and won the game, made the other guy slam his beer, whatever?
No.
Can I share one and find out, even though there wasn't...
Are you going to talk about Church League basketball again?
You got it.
Oh, God.
Winning a game 3-on-5 against one of your best friend's teams. Yes. Yes. That might not be a comeback, but you know what? That was a way to...
Send that story into the newspaper.
3-on-5. Yes. There were only 7 players on our team. 4 of them had the flu. The one that lived closest to the YMCA on Cleveland Street, his parents had to get him up, put a jersey on, and for the last minute of the game, we put him in the corner, and he stood there on the court. And we beat the Greek church, beat him fairly hand. They had one play, and we figured it out within about 2 possessions. But I'm sorry, any time in a game in which you keep count, when one team has 3 players and the other have 5 and the team with 3 players wins going away, Dude, that's that and my hole-in-one are probably my two best accomplishments in sports. So, again, we'll take your tweets at Sturgis Sports, at ESPN Upstate. You can hit us up on the text line. That's 72881, or just give us a phone call at 844-GSP-ESPN. So, when we come back, we'll have one more segment of Open Phones at 520. We are talking with our buddy Eric Boynton of the Spartanburg Herald Journal. Clemson gets started in the college world, or in the NCAA baseball tournament tomorrow at 4 p.m. So it looks like the weather will be fine in Oxford and we will be A-OK. So again, open phones in the 5 p.m. and then 5:20 Eric Boynton. 6:20, we're going to talk local soccer with John Harkes, the head coach of the Greenville Triumph in their first year. Right now, tied for the fourth spot for the playoffs. So doing well with a new team. But Diesel, one last one. You mentioned, I agree, Michael Vick coming back. And that was hard for me, because I love animals. We got two dogs and a cat. That one, I held that over Michael Vick's head for quite some while, but he came back and he handled it. How about one last one, the one that I really met in person? How about Tony Mandarich? We talked about him as NFL bust until you go look at it. He was thought to be the best offensive lineman coming out of college football in forever, but it was all steroid-based. 6'7", 295 at the time. We Price and I interviewed him out in out in California for the Super Bowl. And nicest guy on the face of this earth. But once he went and got his head right, got cleaned up, if you will, he came back and had six more productive years in the NFL after everybody had called him the great white bust. You know what I mean? So they had labeled him that. He got motivated, and he went out there and overcame it over the course of 6 years in his career. And that's how you answer your critics. Now, Tony Mandarich, much like Ryan Leaf, never accomplished anything on the field, but Diesel, at least he's gotten his life together. All right, we'll take yours at 844-GSP-ESPN, and we'll also give you a 5 p.m. keyword in our free Cash Dash contest. Don't forget, you got us at ESPNUpstate.com. Go get registered for the locker room. We got some UFC fight tickets in June available if you do. Hour number two on the other side.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.